This evening we've decided to kind of give you the maybe kind of a rest of the story of this morning's lesson. Remember that this morning we spent our time looking at life's agenda, as I titled the lesson. But we see that that agenda involved pressing on towards the mark of accomplishing that which Christ has chosen us to do, or we might say God has chosen us to do in Christ. Paul said that he was doing that he was pursuing that he was pressing on, that he was doing so according to the rule of God, and that we all are to do that together according to the same rule. Well, as a result of that, Paul was able to say some things, and if we do what Paul did, then we'll be able to say these things also. In 2 Timothy 4, verses 6 through 8, he says, "I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me at that day, and not only to me, but to all those who love his appearing." Four things Paul was able to say. You might say, well, there's more than four things there. Well, these are the four things we're going to emphasize tonight. These are the four main things that he was able to say because he recognized that he wasn't already perfect, but he was pressing on. And as he came to the end of his life, he said, "The time of my departure is at hand." That's something that if we live long enough, we'll come to realize that the time of our departure is at hand. We might not want to say it, but we'll be able to say it. But in recognition of that, he reflected on the fact that he had lived the life that Christ had chosen him for. And we need to do the same thing. He said, "I have fought the good fight." In 1 Timothy 6 and verse 12, he tells us to fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto you are called, and have professed a good profession before many witnesses. Paul here, of course, was speaking to Timothy. Timothy was an evangelist. He was in the, you might say, the same line of work that Paul was in. He wasn't an apostle, but he was an evangelist. He took the gospel to others. He grounded other people in the gospel of Christ. Fight the good fight of faith. Stand for the truth. Teach the truth. Stand against error. And you and I need to recognize also that in this is that in fighting the good fight of faith, we're talking about our own personal fight, our fight against ourselves, to trust God and His Word and to do what He has called us to do. Fight good fight of faith and lay hold on eternal life. Philippians 4 and verse 13, he said, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me." We can fight this fight of faith. We can learn the truth, teach the truth. We can practice the truth, and that practice of truth is the faith. We can do the will of God rather than our own selfish, covetous will. It's not easy. No fight is easy, but it's a fight that we can accomplish through Christ, through trusting in Him and trusting His Word, doing things as He teaches us to do them in His Word. Ephesians 6 and verse 10 and following, you're familiar with that passage where we're told to put on the whole armor of God. It is a fight. We wrestle against Satan and his temptations against us to do our will rather than God's will. But if we fully clothe ourselves with the Word of God, from the bottom of our feet to the top of our head and everywhere in between, then we will be fully equipped to fight this good fight of faith and to fight that good fight. Revelation 12 and verse 11, he says that those who were clothed in white are they who have overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they love not their lives unto death. How did they gain the victory? How did they gain their robes of white in the presence of God? He said they overcome, number one, by the blood of the Lamb. Without the blood of Christ, nothing we do would be of any effect at all. His blood paid the price for our sin. His death paid the price for our sin. The wages of our sin is not a return of good works. The wages of our sin, the price that has to be paid, is death. And that's why Jesus died, to pay the price for our sins. And so they overcome, first by the blood of Christ, and then by the word of their testimony. They testified that they lived in accordance to the word of God, and the word of God confirmed that they were living in accordance to his will. And they loved not their lives unto death. They loved not their own selfish will, their own covetous practices, their own lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. They loved not their own life. They loved the life of righteousness, and they loved glorifying God in their life. When tempted, they loved to say, I'm not going to do my carnal will. I'm going to do the will of God, who loved me and gave his son for me and paid the price for my sin. I'm going to live to the honor and the glory of God. Fight the good fight of faith. Paul said, I have fought the good fight. I want to be able to say that also. It's not an easy fight, but it's a fight that we can indeed engage, that we must engage. Somebody says, well, I'm not a fighter. I saw a video once where a guy had invited some young guys to his ranch and so forth, and they're just kind of getting to know each other. And the guy who owned the ranch kind of says, are you a fighter? And the young guy says, yeah. And he says, really? I think the guy was teasing, you know, but he was kind of taking him serious. But, you know, I don't think anybody loves a fight. There might be some people who do. But fights have to be entered into. It's like Ecclesiastes tells us, there's a time of peace and there's a time of war. And each one of us have been called into this war against Satan and against sin to fight the good fight of faith. And we need to recognize that. Paul said, I have finished the race. We noticed this morning that he said, I'm pressing on towards the mark. I don't count myself to have attained, but here he says, at this point in his life, I've finished the race. Hebrews 12 and verse 1 says, seeing we are compassed about so great a cloud of witnesses, people who heard what God said, believed what God said, trusted what God said, did what God said, and what God said would happen did happen for them. Seeing we are compassed about with such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Let us run with patience, endurance, the race that is set before us. Lay aside every weight of sin, and the sin that does so easily beset us. The sin that the Hebrew writer has been emphasizing from chapter 1 to the end is the sin of unbelief. And how easy it is to go from a believer to an unbeliever, from a believer to a doubter, from a believer to a compromiser. You've shown how that happened over and over and over in the history of Israel. And it was happening right there and then at that point in time in history, where there were Christians who were saying, the gospel of Christ is not enough. We need to go back and bring some elements of the Mosaic Law into our practice of Christianity. He said, that's not continuing in the doctrine of Christ. That's coming to doubt the effectiveness of the doctrine of Christ. That's going from a believer to an unbeliever. They made that error in a point of doctrine and wanting to go back, just like their forefathers wanted to go back to Egypt. But how many times do we face that problem? We become a Christian, we embrace this love for God and a love of righteousness, and we want to increase in righteousness, but our old ways of sin begin to call us back. And we want to go back. Or we want to compromise. Somehow we want to justify our weaknesses and our sins rather than press on to be all that God called us to be. Sin that does so easily beset us, it will wreck us in our race to cross the line with Christ. 1 Corinthians 9, verses 24 through 27 says it this way. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all? They're all running, but only one receives the prize. Only one comes in first. So run that you may obtain. Enter this race and run this race with the commitment to come in first, to be a victor. Every man that strives for mastery is temperate, practices self-control in all things. They do it to obtain a corruptible crown, we an incorruptible. Everyone who competes in a competition trains for that competition, whatever training it might involve. They train hard and diligently. They change their lifestyle to accommodate their training. To do that, you have to discipline yourself and stay true to that discipline. Everyone who strives for mastery is temperate, practice self-control in all things. What makes you think that running the race of a Christian doesn't require practicing self-control and establishing new habits and a new way of life? He says, I therefore, in light of this, all of those who strive for mastery practice self-control. So I therefore run the same way, not uncertainly. So fight I, not as one that beats the air. Those who strive for mastery don't strive for mastery, don't enter the race thinking, well, I might win, I could win. No, they train with the idea of, I'm going to win. I'm going to be a victor. I'm going to train harder than anyone else. I'm going to work harder than anyone else. Now, they're competing against each other. We're just competing against ourselves. But we need to have that same commitment, is that my spiritual man is going to strive as hard to practice righteousness as my carnal man strove to practice unrighteousness. I'm going to outwork myself. I'm going to let Christ live in me, and I'm going to outwork myself. That's what he's saying. Not uncertainly. I'm training with a certainty that I'm going to win because Christ lives in me. I fight, not as one that beats the air. You know, when you're in training, maybe say you're training for a fight, and you have your shadow boxing and the speed bag and the heavy bag and all of those kinds of things, and maybe you have a sparring partner that you're not really delivering full blows to and that type of thing. You know, you're just kind of practicing punching, and you're building up strength, punching, and learning to fight and all of those things. But he says, I'm not fighting as one who's training to fight. This is on-the-job training. I'm in the fight. Every Christian is in the fight. And that's what you need to realize. You're not practicing to win. You are in the fight. And you can win it even as you're developing. But he says, nevertheless, he says, I keep under my body and I bring it into subjection. I practice self-control. In regards to my body wants to practice the lust of the flesh and lust of the eyes and the pride of life. But I'm in control of my body. My body's not in control of me. Christ is in control of my body. My body's not in control of me. Lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. He says, this is what I'm teaching to you, Corinthians. But more importantly, he says, this is what I practice. And what I'm practicing is what you need to practice. What I've learned and what the Spirit has taught me, you need to learn. Because we're all in this together. In Luke 9 and verse 62, Jesus said, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. How sad it is to come to know the love of Christ and the forgiveness of sins and the pathway of righteousness, and then to look back like those first Jews that left Egypt and long for the old ways except that they were separate from their God and didn't enjoy their freedom their God wanted them to enjoy. They would rather be enslaved so that they could have the pleasures of the flesh. No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. You keep looking forward. That's what Paul said. I press on towards the mark. I don't look back. What's in the past is in the past and it will stay there. And it shouldn't haunt me and it shouldn't draw me back into those ways. I'm pressing on to the way of God. So, don't quit. Don't say because of this reason or that reason or whatever reason, I'm going to quit, because you'll regret it. In eternity, you will really regret it. Don't quit. Finish the race here. Cross the line with Christ. And enjoy the joys of victory. Stay focused on where you are going, not on where you've been. Finish the race. He said, I have kept the faith. I have heard what God says. I've trusted what God says. I've done what God says. I have kept the faith. Jude, verse 3, reads, Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write to you of our common salvation, it was needful for me to write to you and exhort you, warn you, and encourage you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Yes, we contend for the faith by speaking the truth, defending the truth against error, but we contend for the faith in our personal lives, every time we're tempted, and we contend for the faith that what God taught us is better than the way of the world and the desires of the flesh. Psalm 119 and verse 11 shows us the value of the Word of God, where he says, Thy Word I have hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. When Jesus was tempted, he answered his first two temptations by saying, It is written. When we're tempted, we are reminded, God reminds us, He will not allow us to be tempted above what we are able to bear. He will remind us in His Word of His will for us. Hide His Word in your heart. Cling to it. And use it when you're tempted. And you too will keep the faith. Finally, he said, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Paul was able to say that. I want to be able to say that. I believe I am able to say that. I believe you are able to say that. There is laid up for you a crown of righteousness. There is laid up for all who love him a crown of righteousness. But he says, I realize that that crown of righteousness is laid up for me and it's laid up for everyone else. Because I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. And I have kept the faith. Somebody has said that hope is confident expectation. I believe that's a good definition. Hope is confident expectation. Is a crown of righteousness laid up for you? Well, I hope so. No, that's not the kind of hope we're talking about here. We're talking about biblical hope. There isn't any doubt in what Paul says here. He says, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. He had confident expectation of receiving this reward. We should speak of our salvation with confidence. John, 1 John chapter 3 and verses 18 through 21, as we just recently have been noticing in our adult Bible class, he says, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Let us not only love in word and tongue and speak, let us not just say that we love each other, but let's demonstrate our love for each other. Hereby, this is how we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart condemns us not, then we have confidence towards God. Love your brother. Love your sister. Love your husband. Love your wife. Love your children. Love your parents. Love each other. Let us not just say we love each other, but let's demonstrate our love for each other. Hebrews 10 and verse 22 says, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled or separated from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Our hearts are sprinkled or separated from an evil conscience. That's our decision to repent, to turn from the love of the world and the things of the world, the carnal things of the world, to turn our attention to the will of God and glorifying Him. We separate our heart from an evil conscience. And we have our bodies washed with pure water in the waters of baptism, and our sins are washed away. Draw near to God in full assurance of faith. If you have sincerely obeyed the gospel of Christ, as you pray to Him, as you live your life, live in full assurance of faith, of trusting Him and obeying Him and doing His will. 1 John 2 and verse 28 says, little children, abide in Him, that when He shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. If we abide in Him, as we notice so many times, abide in me, abide in my word, and you will be my true disciples, and you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. abide in Him. Abide in His Word. Trust Him and obey Him. This is where our confidence comes from. And when the Word of God, when the Word of God points out our weaknesses, our areas where we're not living up to what He expects of us, then humbly acknowledge that and turn to Him and make correction and continue to reach forward to this goal that lies before. We can make our calling and election sure. You know, when I don't know how many of you have ever operated a boat and then come in to dock that boat and so forth, and usually you tie it up. It's a good idea to tie it up. You never know what's going to happen. But when you make that tie it up, you want to do it, you want to make it sure. You want to make sure that it's not going to come loose. There's been a couple times that I've just kind of taken for granted that the boat's just kind of sitting there, maybe on the bank, and it'll be okay. Until somebody comes along making big wakes or something, and the boat starts doing this, and the wind's blowing just right, and it starts moving out, and you start moving out too. But make your calling and election sure. Make it as sure as you can. When you recognize these areas that need to change, change. 2 Peter 1, verses 5 through 10. Look at all of this. He says, besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. And to your virtue knowledge, and to your knowledge temperance, self-control, and to your temperance patience. Keep practicing this. And to patience, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, love or charity. For if you do these things, for if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacks these things, he that kind of takes these things for granted, he that kind of looks over there and says, well, that's not as, quite as secure as what it should be. He that lacks these things has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. He's taken his salvation for granted. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence and make your calling and election sure. Don't take anything for granted. For if you do these things, you shall never fail. Conditional. If you do these things. What if I don't do these things? What if I don't secure these things? No guarantee. In fact, if there's any guarantee, it's you've already failed. We need to take these things seriously. Our confidence is, of course, founded in Christ. 1 John 1 and verses 7 through 9 says, if we walk in the light as He is in the light. There's the standard. How is my walk in the light, to what degree is it to be in the light and maybe some degree in the darkness? Is there any darkness in Christ? If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. The healing, as we talked about last Sunday morning, that healing that's in the blood of Christ and in the body of Christ, it continues. We have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Well, if we have sin, then what are we to do? So confess our sins. And He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Our confidence is founded in Christ. and His promise to forgive if we will repent and confess and do His will. To be confident is not to assert our own worthiness. What I mean by that is that, well, I know I'm going to heaven because I just know I'm going to heaven because I've done this and that and da da da. No, I know I'm going to heaven because God has promised a home in heaven to those who will live faithfully. It's all dependent upon Him. Four things you want to be able to say. I have fought the good fight. We've all entered into this fight. Now fight the good fight. Fight it with confidence. Fight it with assuredness. Fight it knowing that Christ is in your corner and that He's got your back. Know what His will is and be committed to always do His will, regardless of the consequences. Finish the race. Keep the faith. And there is laid up for you a crown of righteousness as well, and to all who love His appearing. If you're subject to the invitation tonight, we'd encourage you to let it be known. Would you please come as we stand and sing this song?